Hello, Star Trek fans. My name is James.
You forgot to say the name of the podcast.
Oh. Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. Hello, Star Trek fans, and welcome to the Rebinge Deep Space Nine podcast. My name is James.
And my name is Kim.
And together, we are watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine from the beginning, one episode at a time. Welcome back to the podcast. In this week's episode, we will be talking about our mailbag and going through the feedback we've received, and we will be talking about all the episodes in Season 1. We will be doing a quick recap of everything we liked, didn't like, and our top and bottom five.
Yay!
Before we start, is there anything you want to bring up about last week's episode?
No, it was perfect.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. Funny.
Actually, it's really long.
Oh, go figure.
By the time we release this, that one will have been released, but there's a tremendous amount of editing going into that one because we had a lot to say about that episode.
And some of it was actually on topic.
It was a standout episode, and I don't mean it was the greatest episode of the season because we're going to talk about that, but what I do mean is it was very different. It had a very different feel.
Yes.
It was very grand in its storyline.
Yeah.
So I think it covered so many different things that, yeah, we talked about it a lot.
Well, I think it was a very significant episode, and it was, interestingly, a very real social issue at that point in the 90s.
Yes, I agree.
Okay, so on to this episode. Would you like to start with our mailbag, Kim?
Oh, certainly.
Before you start that, I do have one piece of feedback from Darth Jordy asking the question, who would win, the Enterprise E versus the Millennium Falcon? Yeah, that question is banned.
Nobody asked that.
Yes, I believe this is Usenet from 1994.
All right. For the most part, the feedback that we've been getting has been on email. And if you want to send us some feedback, please email us at rebingeit@gmail.com. So the first email I'm going to read is from John Helm. And John put in his subject line, my favorite thing, the reason I put his first. He put, first time, long time. But he said, hey, Kim and James, I really like your podcast. A weekly treat. I hope you keep it up. There are many episodes I look forward to hearing your views, spins, and analysis on. That was very nice.
Yeah. Well, that's actually something a number of people have said to us, which is, I didn't really like the series until season 3 or season 4. I'll listen to it when it gets there.
Yeah, I've heard that from a few people. And certainly on Twitter, my interactions with people has been, oh, the early seasons are rough. Wait till you get to season 3. But we're in it for the long haul. So we did all of season 1 and we suffered through some of the bumps there. And now we're starting on season 2. So we'll get to 3, but we're not there yet.
Oh, yeah.
Mark in Colorado sent me this message. The podcast is great. It might be better than the show. Awesome.
Well, in my honest opinion, some of the episodes in the show or watching paint dry might be better.
Oh.
Well, there were some terrible episodes. Well, there was one. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Not a Geek CO said, my husband and I are enjoying your podcast and I'm not normally a sci-fi geek. It's funny how gross the 90s were for women on TV. You both have a great sense of humor. This person also left us a review on iTunes, which was really nice, of 5 stars. So thank you very much for that.
Oh, thanks.
And an email from Carter saying, Kim and James, thanks for the podcast. It's a good distraction from the pandemic. I've enjoyed your attention to detail, though sometimes you maybe go a little long. I have no idea what he's talking about. He says, I still listen. Thanks for the show.
We'll send him a private link to the unedited episodes, and he can listen to all 2.5 hours of us rambling.
Oh, man. Yeah, I often think about if we did a Patreon, which, you know, you're supposed to give more to the people who support you. And I often think, would we give them, like, the less edited version, and then they have to listen to us talk about it for 2 hours, whereas that feels more like punishment. Instead, maybe they would want a condensed version. Maybe they would pay if we talked less. Cat Lover sent us an email, and it says, Rebinge it. Love the podcast. DS9 is my favorite Trek, and you are reminding me why I love the later seasons, which is funny. Season 1 is rocky, but I hope you keep going because it gets better. DSN Fan gave us an iTunes review and said, I've really enjoyed this podcast. Kim and James are a lot of fun to listen to. I mean, there's a lot of little things like that, so I don't want to read all of those small ones, but yeah, those are really nice, and we really appreciate getting that feedback. I do have one kind of long email, which I was going to read. Actually, we had three really long emails, but I consolidated a couple of them, but one I left in its pretty much in its entirety, and I do want to read that one to you because it was pretty interesting. It says, Kim and James, I just wanted to thank you for doing the re-binge at this time. I had started looking for comfort TV, and DS9 is my fave of all sci-fi shows. I was late to the Star Trek universe, starting mid-TNG, and wasn't really a fan of DS9 when it came out. Maybe it had to do with the lack of order of catching broadcast shows. But when I finally got it on DVD, I fell in love, just like James. Aw, kindred spirit. There are several things I like about your podcast, including the walkthrough, which helps me remember the episode, the back and forth banter between the two of you, but I wanted to focus this email that I really do appreciate Kim's segment on women in the future. Now you can see why I wanted to read this.
Oh.
It's interesting to see the blatant sexism in these early episodes, especially as I rewatch now, given how much we have all learned since the 90s and amidst the Me Too era. So preach on, Kim, and even if this is not James's favorite segment. Though, Kim, I do wonder, since it's the last thing you talk about in the pod, maybe your episode ratings are really tied to how you view the sexist behavior in the episode. Maybe because I have memories of future episodes, no spoilers, I think that women in DS9, despite some of the flatness and emotion, do hold their own. Kira and Dax don't put up with the kind of bleep, I bleeped it, that's thrown around, and do make their own choices about how to conduct themselves in their lives. Yes, despite the fact that they are both military women. So I do hope that this segment can highlight the way these women have agency and authority over their own fates as we keep watching episodes and things get better, or so I remember. Love your show. That was so sweet. Thank you very much, Teresa, for sending us that email.
If you listen to Alexander Siddig's talk about his character in the first season, and I might be reading too much into it, he does sound embarrassed.
Yeah, well, there's some just abhorrent behavior by him. I mean, I guess workplace behavior.
Yeah.
I'm glad he recognizes it, and I'm also glad to hear that it apparently goes away. I mean, Bashir is the favorite character of many people, as I have learned. And of course, right now, as of this point, easily my least favorite. He is so annoying to women, but I'm glad that they figure it out, or he figures out, or whatever, and they turn that around.
The writing improves.
Yeah.
I'm not giving any spoilers to say he's probably the most developed character.
He's probably the one that needs it the most, and we will talk about that as we go here today. We got an email from David, and this was from way back after our very first episode. And David gave us some feedback on military conventions and how people address each other, because we were talking about, in that episode, if you remember, we were talking about Sisko was lieutenant commander, but nobody called him lieutenant commander.
Oh, yes. This is a very good one. Thank you, David.
So he did explain that to us. I appreciate that. And also, he did tell us that anyone commanding a ship is referred to as captain, regardless of rank. So that was very helpful. But he said he enjoyed the podcast and he listed off some of the things he thought was funny. And also he weighed in on Sisko as the political choice. And he doesn't really agree with your assessment about it being political. He feels like he's just smart and that he really fell apart after his wife died.
Yeah.
And so this was sort of his reemergence. Then he also kind of picked on us a bit for saying that for getting mixed up with the Federation and Starfleet once or twice in that episode. And I do think we've gotten a lot better. Look, podcasting is not as easy as it seems. You think you're just going to sit down and talk about Star Trek because that's what you do like at your dinner table or when you're out for a beer back when you used to be able to go out for beers. But it's not that easy. So certainly in the early days, we would get a little bit more jumbled over our words than we do now. Although I'm sure we still make plenty of mistakes. And we did start early on trying to correct ourselves in the next episode. But even that became a little bit funny. It was like, well, how picky do we want to be? So we try to point out when we make really big mistakes. But yeah, we're going to make some. You know, David was cool about it. I accept that criticism, I guess, is what I'm trying to say of that first episode.
It is funny how many times we say right.
There are certain words that we say a lot, but I think what we've really learned is how we repeat what the other person says quite a bit, and we've tried to cut that out of the episodes, but that certainly adds to the challenge of editing. One thing that David did make note of is he wanted to say that Morn is obviously Norm. That was something we talked about in that podcast of what character from Cheers Morn was, and he says Norm. I think I said Norm too.
Well, my opinion of Morn has actually evolved as we've rewatched. I'm now more convinced than ever that Morn is another emissary of the Prophets, or alternatively, is actually one of the Prophets, because he's everywhere.
You have brought that up a few times.
All the time, yes.
On Twitter, Haley, or 13 Star Fan, said, really enjoying the DS9 podcast. Can't wait till you get to some of my favorite episodes in later seasons.
There is an episode in later seasons I cannot wait to get to.
I'm excited. Then Michael sent us an email He gave us some advice about when we head into season two that we should refresh ourselves on some TNG episodes that were airing at the same time. And we'll definitely do that. Thank you, Michael, for that advice. Jeff or X-Force 11 on Twitter said, "So I only caught bits and pieces of this show when it was first on, so this is my first time watching through DS9. Do they ever address how Odo's communicator works when he liquefies and resolidifies?" This is such a good question, and it comes up as we move into season two in some of the early episodes, and we are going to talk about that.
Yes, we have theories on that one.
We had a couple of things on Facebook. Aaron on Facebook said, "About the Dax episode, I thought of it as one of the first episodes to show how much moral ambiguity could be possible on a Trek show." That is such an excellent point.
Oh, yeah.
When the pandemic first started, we already had some of the episodes recorded and were ready to release them. And we did start releasing them. But as we went along and it started to become clear how long this was going to last, I started to worry about whether or not we should continue to release a lighthearted show. And I said something about that on Facebook. And Wes on Facebook did send me a message saying, "Keep releasing them. It's a welcome escape. As Patrick Stewart has consistently mentioned, he had a letter sent to him by a sergeant in the Las Vegas Police Department that there were dark days at his job and his escape was Star Trek." Huh. And so I just really thought that was sweet of Wes to share that information with us. And we did keep releasing them, and we will continue to keep releasing them. And we try not to even bring up the pandemic during the recordings. Every now and then it does come up, and we don't mean to make light of it. At the same time, we also like an escape from it. And this is a big part of it for us, that we can kind of get away from all of the news and get away from whatever bad thing might be going on outside and just focus on something else, something like Star Trek.
Yeah. Which ultimately is a message of positivity.
Yeah, absolutely. But that's it. Mailbag is closed. Again, you want to send us a message and get into our next mailbag episode. And also, we sometimes will bring up the messages that we get as we go along. But we are recording a few episodes ahead, so it's hard for us to get detailed feedback from you on a particular episode and then release it. If you want to send us information in advance of upcoming episodes, please, by all means, do that. And again, we are on Twitter at RebingeIt, and email is RebingeIt@gmail.com.
Okay.
I'm happy people are listening.
Yes, that too.
Because it's a lot of work, and so I appreciate that. Okay, what are we doing next? Master of Ceremonies, first time running the podcast. How's it going over there?
Well, the next thing on the agenda is our bottom five episodes.
I'll be very curious to see how much overlap there is between my bottom five and your bottom five. I'm pretty sure my worst one is not your worst one.
Hit me with the bottom five.
All right. Number five on my list. Episode number two from the season, Past Prologue.
Ah, interesting.
Number four on my list, which was episode nine, was Move Along Home. Oh. I'm sorry, I know you like that one.
Oh.
Number three, The Storyteller. I also think you like that one. I did not like that one.
No, we're a little bit close on that one.
Okay. Number two was a terrible episode, If Wishes Were Horses.
Oh,
that was a steaming pile. And the worst episode of the season, because I was so offended by this episode, I nearly stopped watching the entire thing. And that was Q-less. Episode number six.
I am not surprised.
That was the worst of the entire season for me.
Okay. My bottom five, coming in at number five, is episode eight, The Passenger.
Mm.
Number four, episode four, Babel.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. This is good. It's so different from mine. I love it.
Coming in at number three, episode seven, Dax.
Oh.
It was called Dax, and Dax said like four words in it.
I know, but gosh, there was some stuff in that one I liked.
Yeah.
And
well, the ending
was good. It's actually in my top 10. Carry on.
Number two, episode 16, Forsaken.
Oh, you didn't like the doghouse.
That, really?
Yeah, that one was not good.
And number one, the worst episode of season one, episode 15, If Wishes Were Horses. If there was a minus one rating, this would be the one. Oy.
Yeah, I think we agreed, even when we were recording it, how terrible that episode was. It was just so, and then it had no payoff in the end.
Right.
You didn't even learn about the aliens. They didn't tell you anything. They just like made some baseball cliche and then left. It was just so stupid.
Exactly.
For me, in that episode, maybe the only saving grace of it was, you know, it started off with Julian harassing Dax again.
Yeah.
That was the worst example of it. But the one positive thing was that it sort of came back to bite him, because then the image that he had of her in his head became visible to everyone else. And then he was pretty embarrassed by that. So that was a good thing, I guess, because it's like, okay, well, you asked for it and here it is.
Yeah.
But otherwise, that episode is awful. I'm actually kind of surprised to see Forsaken on your bottom five, because I thought you gave that a thumbs up. Did you not?
Actually, it might have been a neutral. I'd have to go back and listen to that one.
I added all that information to my notes. As usual, my notes are much more detailed.
Yes, that sounds about
put
right.
Your, I didn't think about it. I wasn't smart enough to put your rating in, and I should have done that.
Yeah.
But I actually gave Forsaken an up just because I liked the ending so much and how far they came with Lwaxana and Odo by the end.
Right.
But it was pretty painful getting there. And that nonsense with the doghouse was just embarrassing.
Yeah,
there's no doubt.
Yeah, I thought the computer stuff was just awful, but the stuff with Odo and Lwaxana was really good, but it wasn't enough of the episode, I thought, to really make it.
And then Babel. I'm curious why you put Babel in the bottom five.
I just felt that was weak. I felt like it was almost kind of a filler episode. It felt a little bit too cliched. I think it was really because it was just not very memorable. I think in the big picture, just being not a bad episode doesn't really cut it.
I see. Yeah, it was just okay.
Yeah, exactly. It was an okay
episode.
I mean,
my rating on it was neutral, so I get that. I also think we watched that just as the pandemic was starting, and it felt too much like real life a little bit. It made me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, Babel and Forsaken are the next two up for me on the list, so they were very close to making it into the bottom five.
Yeah.
But Dax, I had considerably higher than you, and primarily because I so enjoyed the guest performance by the actress in that episode. I thought she was so amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Then also you had The Passenger on your list. And again, that one, I certainly had that in my bottom half of episodes, but why did it end up in your bottom five?
I think because it felt too clunky.
Yeah.
They didn't write Julian well enough as that character.
Yeah.
And the characterization that Julian played seemed a little bit too chewing the scenery.
Right. I mean, my notes, because I made just little tiny notes for each episode just to remind myself when we got to this conversation, and my notes say, bad acting, silly.
Yeah.
I think that sums it up.
When you contrast that to everybody playing characters who weren't really themselves in dramatis personae, that really brought that to life. I mean, and even Julian in dramatis personae, even Alexander, it did a better job, I thought, of playing this sort of manipulative political character.
Yep. Because I'll never forget the worst line from The Passenger was when he said, hailing us?
Yes.
It's so melodramatic and just so awful.
Considering what Sadiq is like, it feels like that was just poor direction.
Yeah.
So your bottom five.
Yeah.
I think we know why Culess is...
Insulting to women, unpleasant to watch. Yeah.
Yep.
Culess. Thank you. I never want to see that again.
And Wishes, well.
Insulting to women, pointless. Those are my notes.
Yeah. Wishes was just painful on so many levels.
It was so bad. And that vision that Julian had in his head of Dax was so friggin' insulting. And so a thing that women, certainly in STEM, have been fighting forever is to just be taken seriously.
Yeah.
And then that. That was an embarrassment. They should never have produced that episode. It was terrible.
I will just say it was the 90s.
Yeah, no excuse for it.
And number three, The Storyteller.
Apart from Jake and Nog, that episode was dumb. That nonsense about how the village had to sort of wish away the bad guy. I still don't get it. It's so stupid. But I think what bothered me the most in that episode is they sent Julian and Miles down to the planet and... I thought this was an opportunity to start developing their relationship, start showing how they might work together, how they might learn to respect each other, how they might learn to be part of a team. The thing I love about TNG didn't happen. They did not form any kind of bonds. They did not work together to solve a problem. They didn't have any deep, meaningful conversations. I was really disappointed in that part of it.
Yeah. That is in the lower half of my ratings, but what pulled that one up for me was the Jake and Nog storyline.
That was funny with the self-sealing stem bolts.
Yeah, that was what saved that one for me.
Sure.
And I can't believe it. Number four. Really? Move along home?
I'm afraid so. I found it weak and shallow, and I don't need to see it again. I really didn't think it was terrible. I have no reason to watch it again. In many cases, the way that I did the ranking is I looked at the two episodes next to each other on the list and I said, if I had to choose to watch one, which one would I watch? And, you know, that one just kind of kept falling down as I was like, if I was going to watch this or move along home, yeah. I would move along home down. And it just, I didn't get enough from it to want to watch it again. And at the end, I was a little irritated that there weren't any stakes. I get your point that they didn't know there weren't any stakes.
Yeah.
And so for them, the drama was still there. But I don't know, something about it for me was made it feel pointless. And that's a little bit of why I didn't like If Wishes Were Horses, too. There, in the end, there were no stakes. And it was just like, ugh. Okay. It's your imagination. La la.
Everything in that episode was pointless.
And then Past Prologue was my number 5 on that list. So it's not the worst one. But it was episode 2. And that makes me wonder if that was a big part of why I gave up watching DS9 way back in the beginning. Was that, you know, by episode 2, I was like, I don't like this. There was too much conflict between the crew members, for one thing. And then also there was just that hopelessly terrible plan at the end, or really complete lack of plan of what they were going to do. They just sort of went out in the shuttles and hoped to not die. It was so stupid. So yeah, I did not like that episode. Everything else on my list, all of the other 14 episodes, were either a rating of up or neutral by me. So I think that's actually a pretty good sign for me.
Well, they definitely seem to pick up towards the end.
Yeah.
With the exception of Wishes Were Horses and Forsaken.
Yeah. Okay, those are the bottom 5. What do you want to do next?
Well, next, let's talk about the top 5. So, give me your top 5.
Okay. Number 5, In the Hands of Prophets, which was episode 19. Number 4, episode 14, Progress. Number 3, episode 12, Battle Lines. Number 2, Emissary, episode 1. And the number 1 ranked episode for me of the entire season was obviously Duet, episode number 18, which
nice.
Was such a standout and so different
yep.
from all of the other episodes. What are your top 5?
Okay, so coming in at number 5, episode 14, Progress. Number 4, episode 19, In the Hands of the Prophets. Number 3, episode 9, Move Along Home.
Oh man, it's in your top 5?
Yes! Absolutely. Man. People really missed that, the point of that episode. I'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Number 2, Duet.
Ooh, number 2?
Yep.
What's number 1?
Dramatis Personae.
Really?
Yep.
Well, that is exceedingly interesting. You don't even have the pilot in the top 5.
Nope.
Wow. Dramatis Personae is your favorite episode of the entire season.
Yes,
better
it is.
Than Duet. So talk about that. Was it purely because it felt so nostalgic for you because you remembered loving that episode so much? I mean, what was it
well,
that landed it at number 1?
Well, it's because that episode in multiple rewatchings has held up so well. And I really enjoyed the concept of it.
Yeah.
Because there are two ways of looking at it. One is, this is history. This race has recorded their history and the collapse of their civilization or whatever in these telepathic spheres.
Mm-hmm.
Or alternatively, this is a drama. This is just a play. And these people are acting in a play.
Right.
And my personal opinion is it's just a play. Especially with Sisko's speech about, you know, my name will burn across the stars.
Right.
So this, for me, just worked really well.
Yeah.
And the actors really gave a great performance because as part of it, they had to overact. And they all did a really good job at it. I mean, Kira, Sisko, Bashir, everyone. I mean, it was wonderful to watch and it was really enjoyable.
Yeah.
And Avery Brooks, the way he played that character, where he was doing like the little hand movements and this sort of his irritability and the way he would like explode and then, you know, be really calm.
And his obsession with that clock.
Yes.
That he was drawing and then building.
With everything else going around and his obsession about it. And then Miles as this absolutely loyal lieutenant, unquestioning.
Yeah.
It worked so well. It was very enjoyable as the episode.
I can't argue with any of those things. I would also say about it that it's sort of a classic Star Trek thing.
Yeah.
Where they all get taken over by something.
Yep.
And then at the end, everything's fine. Love it.
Yes.
Love that about Star Trek.
Yep.
Let's talk about Duet, since it's number 1 on my list, number 2 on yours.
Yeah.
The thing about that episode is it was not exactly classic Star Trek. In fact, it was kind of a long ways from classic Star Trek. And it was so different from every other episode of the season. I think that is a big part of why it stood out for me.
Absolutely.
It was very dramatic and the acting was so good. And I didn't know the entire time I was watching it how it was going to end. So I just found it so tense.
Right.
And I just really liked it. I thought the ending was terrible. I wish they had fixed that. But I forgave it because the rest of it was so good. And again, another example of such a great guest star.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the acting was on point through that whole episode. And it was pretty tough to choose between that one and Dramatis for the number one spot for me.
Yeah.
Both very solid episodes, in my opinion. Duet was very much the actors made that episode.
Yeah, for sure. I had Dramatis Personae was my number six, so it was right in my top there as well. We both had Progress in our top five. I had it as number four. The thing I loved about Progress was at the end when Kira finally figured out she had to make the right decision for both of them, and he never caved in. He never said, okay, fine, I'll do it your
right.
way. Never. And she still had to make that tough decision. And I thought that was a brave choice in the writing, and it really helped to move along that character. And so I really liked that.
The other thing that was great about that episode was we saw Kira having to come to terms with, she spent her whole life fighting, you know, the man, the establishment. And then all of a sudden, as she says, a year later, after she'd been fighting in a swamp, I don't think she mentions it in that episode, she is now the establishment. She is the face of the government.
She didn't spend all that time fighting the establishment. I mean, she was fighting the occupation. Those are two different things. She certainly, in her recent history, when Deep Space Nine starts, she's fighting the establishment.
Yeah.
But the time before was not establishment fighting. I mean, she was fighting the occupation. But I see your point.
I would imagine there would be a Bajoran rump government or a Vichy-type organization on Bajor.
Hmm.
So I will counter and say, yes, I think she was fighting the establishment. The established order, anyway, I guess.
And we both had In the Hands of Prophets in the top five.
Oh, yes.
Another really strong episode. And again, was an episode that felt so different from the rest of the episodes. It felt much bigger. It's why our recording of it went so long. There was so much covered and so many different things that happened in that episode. The other thing that happened in that episode was we were introduced to Vedic Wynn, Evil Wynn. And Louise Fletcher just killed it. And she was so good and so scary. I think that really helped to elevate that entire episode for me. There were things in there, just like everything that I didn't quite like, but there were so many things that were great.
Well, it got to show a lot of the internal conflict within Bajor.
That's true. And we start off season two with that as well.
Yeah. I mean, that seems to be sort of a theme that links the end of season one with season two.
Out of the five, there's two in mine that don't match with two of yours. We have Duet, Progress, and In the Hands of the Prophets we agree on as three of the five best episodes of the season. You've got Dramatis Personae, which I agree was really good, and I had number six on my list. It was very, very close. But then you have Move Along Home, which I have way in the bottom, and we looked at that episode very differently. And we certainly talked about that quite a bit when we made it. But is there anything else about that one that you wanted to say?
Well, Move Along Home is an episode that gets a unfair bad rep, in my opinion. That episode is all about first contact, and it's also about basically a behavioral test. Dax is the one who brings up when they're inside the game of, you know, maybe it's a behavioral test. I think she nails the point of this episode. This is a race that obviously loves games, and its whole point is it uses games to assess what the other race is like. That's how I saw it, and I thought it was kind of funny. You know, it was making them jump through hoops and do these things to see how they react, to understand them. And I think people don't look at that and just look at it at the surface level and go, oh, it's Sisko doing hopscotch, singing a song.
Yeah, they get very stuck on that hopscotch scene, which to me wasn't even the dumbest scene. So I get why people don't like that. And also when you watch the performances in that scene, you do kind of laugh. Especially Nana Visitor, she seems to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this.
But that ties up to her not wanting to be in a behavioral test.
Yeah, something nonsensical to her. But the thing that annoyed me in that episode was when they're on whichever shap it is, where they're at that party and then the smoke comes out of the vents. And then the guy says to drink the champagne and then they drink it and that's what saves them. I'm like, what kind of stupid game is that? So that I did not like that part. And oh, there was that one other thing when the bright light shocked Odo, who doesn't have eyeballs. That really also bothered me. There's a theme of stupid things happening to
His
Odo.
His cellular matrix that I was overloaded by the huge number of photons hitting it.
Okay.
I have excuses for everything in that episode.
So where in your overall list does the pilot fall?
The pilot actually falls at number 10.
Really? So you've got...
basically in the middle.
A couple other ones between 5 and the pilot. What else did you think was better than the pilot?
Okay, so well, I'll give you the next few. Number 6 was Battle Lines.
Great.
Number 7 was The Negus.
Ugh.
Oh, The Negus was great.
Ooh, keep going.
8 was Culus, just because of the Sisko fight scene.
Top 10? Oh my God.
Just because of Sisko and Q.
Ugh.
If you cut everything else out, those were great.
You cut out the entire story. Yeah. I'll give you that. No Dax. No Quark.
Yes.
No Bashir. Yeah.
9 was Captive Pursuit.
Huh.
And then 10, obviously, Emissary.
So I think what is maybe true about me in all forms of entertainment, there are little things that I will pull out that maybe resonate with me so much,
yeah,
it will elevate something for me overall.
Uh-huh.
There were a lot of things in that first episode that I actually did not like and I didn't relate to. But all of that stuff about how you existed in all of those places throughout life, as if PTSD was holding on to you and keeping you stuck in time,
yeah,
that really worked for me. And I think when I was younger and I hadn't been through some of the things that I went through after watching that, that maybe didn't click for me as much. But when I watched it this time, I recognized the reactions to PTSD as fitting really nicely into that story. I didn't like that it seemed as if they kind of got him then over it really fast at the end. I didn't appreciate that part of it. But overall, that little thing kind of elevated it for me. So in the same way that the episode Battle Lines, which you don't have in your top 5, but I have in my top 5, there's that one scene between Kira and the Kai that, holy cow, that just stuck with me. There's a lot of really stupid stuff in that episode. I got annoyed with how dumb all those people were, that they couldn't even learn from anything. They just kept doing the same thing over and over. I just thought that was ridiculous. Yeah, yes. But that was tough to watch.
Yeah, yes.
And I couldn't relate to it.
Well, it was my number 6 episode. So
right,
it almost made the list. It was pretty close. Okay, so what were the next 5 episodes on your list?
Oh, Dramatis Personae.
Ah.
Vortex. Which
really?
I know you didn't like, but I loved that there was a little Odo development, even though, oh my God, they hit him in the head with the rock and knocked him out. Just so stupid. But
it did
I liked
have some
the
good
Odo
lines
development
in it, though.
It did.
And without a doubt, is probably one of the greatest wigs in Star Trek history, is Worn.
The greatest by the worst?
Yes. I mean, it's the greatest just by virtue of the fact it is a truly appalling wig that they look,
right,
it looks like they just stuck on the guy's head and pushed him onto set.
Well, my number 8 was A Man Alone because that episode was such classic Star Trek.
Oh.
And then number 9 for me was Dax because of the spectacular guest performance in that episode.
Yeah.
And then number 10 for me was Captive Pursuit. I actually struggled quite a bit on this list with The Negus, which I gave a thumbs up to ultimately, but I would never watch that episode again. That was too much Ferengi for me. So I really struggled. I'm like, I gave it a thumbs up, but I almost feel like it should be in my bottom 5 because I would never watch it again. But I was like, okay. There were some good performances in there, so I left it at, I think it's number 12 overall on my list.
Well, you know how much I love the line from that one of, I'm just not as greedy as I used to be.
Yes, you repeat that line many times. Okay, well, I think we're done with that section.
Okay.
What else would you like to talk about in terms of season 1 wrap-up?
I think you see a show that is starting to find its feet and is still having those moments of it being very true Star Trek, but at the same time being something different, being something a little bit darker. It's kind of funny because, you know, doing these dark stories now is like, for the last 10 years, has been like the in thing. So it's funny to see a show all the way back then that is giving a little bit more of a realistic side to Star Trek in something which has traditionally been very, very positive, but at the same time isn't being this complete noir show.
You know how there are always these debates about what is and isn't Star Trek?
Yes.
On Twitter and probably other places.
Yeah.
I mean, I always feel like whatever you like about Star Trek is Star Trek. When you read a book and you get something out of it that maybe the writer didn't even intend or didn't think about, that doesn't mean it's not there. You found it. You got a thing out of it. So I'm always happy for people to get what they want out of shows. What I loved about The Next Gen, which is my favorite Star Trek of all time and one of my favorite shows of all time, not just Star Trek. I loved the teamwork and the camaraderie and the way people work together to solve problems.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that yet in Deep Space Nine. There's been little tiny hints of it, but really there's been a lot of examples of negative relationships and a lot of examples of not trusting each other and not working together.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels very non-Star Trek to me just because of what the base of Star Trek is to me. That doesn't mean, and I'm not going to get into a battle with anyone about whether or not Deep Space Nine is Star Trek. Oh, please don't send me any messages about that.
Yeah.
You love it. I love that you love it. I'm completely okay with that. And it's Star Trek to you. But to me, the reason why I struggled with it, one of the many reasons why I struggled with it way back when it first came out, was it didn't have that feeling that I really liked about Next Gen. It's the same for me in real life. I like working with teams in my normal day-to-day job. I like solving problems together. I like seeing people succeed. I like seeing them do more than what maybe they even thought they could do.
Yeah.
I really like that just even so in my life. So I want that in my show. I want that in my Star Trek. And I miss that here. I think as we get into season two, you know, we've watched the first couple of episodes and we start to see it happening. And
yeah.
I want that to be the future of the show because that's what's meaningful to me.
Well, I think you see that in the hands of the prophets as well. You start seeing that
a little
trust.
At the end. Yes.
Well, this is something that's been a slow build in the show towards that point. I mean, I think having that episode as the final one was a very good planning for the season. And I really do think that we saw this ramping up of the quality of the episodes as you started to go through.
I wonder if this show would make it today, because the first five or six episodes,
Yeah. There's
some low points in there. I wonder if they would have kept airing it. As a network show, streaming is different, but
yeah.
As a network show, I don't think so.
Well, I think today it would be a streaming show and there would probably be only 10 episodes, but the production quality would be through the roof. We've seen that.
That's true.
Multiple times now of just great production shows, even if there's a few clunky episodes.
Well, love or hate the new Picard, I will say one thing about it. The clothes are fantastic.
Yeah.
Love what he wears.
Show not so much, but it looks good.
Well, I like most of them. That's... This is not a Picard podcast. We're not going to talk about that.
No.
I do want to talk a little bit about guest stars because I brought it up so many times as we went through the episodes.
Yes.
Some of the great ones were Louise Fletcher in the last episode. She's so good. And she's so scary.
Not a spoiler, but she is a recurring character.
Yes, we've seen her at the beginning of the next season, which again, we've just started. Finola Flanagan in the episode Dax. She was so moving to me.
And yeah.
She just brought me to tears. I don't know, maybe that's just how she acts normally, but holy cow, she was great. And of course, she played Data's mother
Yep. In
a fantastic guest appearance on Next Gen.
Yeah, that really was
a
great Next Gen episode.
One of my all-time favorite Next Gen episodes for sure. And then also, I really enjoyed Brian Keith in Progress.
He had
a little bit of humor to him. It was almost, some of the stuff, it was almost tongue-in-cheek the way he delivered it.
Well, he was a very realistic character.
He was very real. He felt so real. He felt like a father figure potentially for Kira.
Yeah.
But he wasn't quite what she needed him to be. And I just thought he was great.
Yeah.
We've also got Lwaxana and, you know, Majel Barrett, right? And she was good. She's always good as Lwaxana, but I don't always love that character. I don't think she's written great. She's written a bit like a stereotype and it's a little bit tough and I think a little bit insulting to women of a certain age. But still, the material she gets, she does everything she can with it. So I thought that was great.
Agreed.
And then also there was Harris Yulin in Duet as Maritza, which he was tremendous.
he really was tremendous. That was a great performance.
I'm not even sure I could choose my favorites in there. It might be Finola Flanagan just because there's something about the way she is that just brings a tear to my eye without her doing anything.
Yeah.
But all of those performances were great.
Also, Jonathan Banks in Battle Lines.
Yeah.
Where he played this just sort of cynical but utterly resigned to we just keep on fighting over and over. I mean, he made that character seem almost believable.
Yeah.
And of course, I can't complete without mentioning Wallace Shawn.
Of course.
No spoilers, but he reappears multiple times as the Negus.
Oh, man, really?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And he
That's a spoiler.
Yeah, it is a spoiler. I'm not telling you what he does. We see more of him, and he owns that role, which is...
That's cool.
I think what he brings to the Negus is he manages to give this almost humorous malevolence to him.
Yeah.
Where like when he picks on Quark and you're like, there's more to this than meets the eye. And he manages to bring that out, which is, you know, what you would hope for an actor.
What about in terms of plot lines? What was your favorite plot line?
Well, a favorite plot line, it's kind of tough because I really do like Dramatis Persona. But at the same time, the Negus episode, the Jake and Nog storyline, that's just too good. That's like totally a true Star Trek. In what I would think of Star Trek of being very positive, being very forward-looking, of telling a story, these two sides of this culture don't interact because they don't have anything in common. And these two kids, regardless of what their parents are basically telling them, are still going to be friends.
Right.
And are going to help each other out. And that building of that friendship leads on to the episode, the storyteller plot line with Jake and Nog and the Stembolts, which is a great bonding episode of seeing those two working together. It works well, and both of those plot lines.
Yeah. I think Duet was my favorite plot line because I had no idea what was going to happen. It was so outside of Star Trek. And it was a real illumination of Kira and why she reacted the way that she did to so many different things. And I mean, that was some serious business.
Oh, that was, yeah.
I think my worst ones, though, are the stupid plans in past prologue. And then the imagination nonsense and if wishes were horses.
Yeah. Wishes were horses. To me, that just feels like such a filler episode. We need to put something in, you know, Rumpelstiltskin. I mean, really, I can't believe anybody in the writer's room when they brought up Rumpelstiltskin didn't just throw their coffee cups at that person.
If you look at the writing credits for that episode, the two people who had said story by, you don't see them in any other episode. Michael Piller is on the teleplay with them as well. So perhaps he was trying to punch it up and save it and make it more Star Trek-y. Yeah. But I think it's telling that we don't see them anywhere else. And that episode just kind of stands out like a sore thumb.
To me, what I do find funny is how one of your favorite episodes is an episode that is not terribly Star Trek. And I use that in the broadest sense. And the episode the two episodes I like the most, are very Star Trek. Certainly the Negus and the Jake Nog storyline, to me, is, you know, one of the hearts of Star Trek.
I definitely see the irony in the episode that I picked as the top one is also the one that I said felt like maybe the least Star Trek-y.
Yeah.
But I like it because it was emotional, and I always love the emotional stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt like it advanced Kira, and I really appreciated that. So, yeah, even though it maybe is the least Star Trek-like, it worked for me.
Mm-hmm. And I was serious when I said we could have recorded that week's podcast without me having to rewatch the episode. I remembered it so well. That was one that really did have an impact on me.
It's hard not to appreciate just good acting. And that's, you know, good acting and good writing. That's what that episode was about, regardless of whether or not it had a lot of Star Trek elements. That's what we got from that episode. Yep. The other things that I wrote down just kind of quickly is I wrote best performance by a regular, which I thought was Nana Visitor as Kira in Progress. I thought she was awesome in that episode. And then I wrote character who needs the most work this year.
Yeah.
And character who I'd like to see them develop more is Dax. Those are like my final notes on this season, apart from worst wig, which we covered. It was from
Vortex. Yes.
And the guy in the background with the tremendously terrible wig.
Vortex. I'd love to see if there was any other outtakes from that with him in the wig. It would be wonderful to see because it was just
bad. Very specifically chose the image for the podcast.
Yep.
So that you could see that wig. But tell me, what are your, which ones do you think, I guess, which one is the best performance by a regular?
I would agree with your list of the who needs development and the worst character so far. It's a tough one for me because I really like Avery Brooks and I really like Nanar Visitor. The two of them really, I think you see more of Kira's development as the show progresses through the season. And oddly, I think you see less of Sisko's. I think you see a lot of Sisko in Emissary, and then it's almost like they concentrate on Kira to a larger extent. So as a fanboy, I'm going to have to say that they're tied.
Okay. Fair enough. Just in general or in a particular episode that you would want to call out for each of them?
I But Nana Visitor just really is kind of standout.
I like her so much more now that I've gotten through the whole season. Whereas before, I'd only seen a couple episodes, and they were episodes I didn't necessarily like her character in. But now she's great.
Well, and we see more of that in season two. Not to give anybody any spoilers, but I expect they've all watched it already.
Yeah, I would expect so. Okay, I think that's it.
Well, with this wrap-up, I think we have come to the end of season one.
Yes, and moving on to season two. So we are going to take a 1 week break, and then we will come back with season two, episode one, in 2 weeks. Thank you very much for listening to us as we've gone through season one, and we hope that you stay on this journey with us into season two. And in the meantime, if you'd like to tell us your own overanalysis of this or any episode, or if you just want to say something nice, please email us at rebingeit@gmail.com. Or tweet at us at RebingeIt. Also, check us out on talkthroughmedia.com. You can leave feedback for us there too, and you can also listen to all of the other awesome podcasts on our network.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Rebinge Deep Space Nine podcast, and we will see you in season two.
That's it for me.
And that's it for me.